We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ron, we got into a deep discussion on the chicken family with Matt during the break there. And I think we're all a little confused on what's what. We have a chicken, a hen, and a rooster. Maddie, do we get to the bottom of, what's a hen? Is that a female chicken?
I believe I was right, yes.
It's a female chicken?
A hen is a female chicken.
What's a rooster?
A rooster is a male chicken.
So they're all chickens.
Yes.
Did you know that, Ron?
Yeah, but what the famous Seinfeld episode, you know, where George's parents are there, they're at a high-class dinner, with his in-laws, I believe it was, and the dad, played by Stiller, Jerry Stiller, goes, well, you have your hen, you have your rooster, you have your, what, chicken?
Yeah.
Who does the hen have sex with? You know, and they're all like, oh, my God, he asked that at this table. It's a classic Seinfeld. I don't know that they ever answered it.
Well, it must be the hen with the rooster,
I guess.
Right? Now, the male hen is also called a cockerel, apparently. No relation to former Steeler cornerback Ross Cockerel.
Yes, right? That's a young rooster who's less than a year, 1 year
is
of age.
Is a cockerel?
Is a cockerel, yes.
So all these things are under the umbrella chicken, right? So a chicken is not a separate entity from a cockerel, a hen, or a rooster.
I don't believe so. A pullet, Joe.
A pullet?
Pullet. P-U-L-L-E-T, is a young hen who is less than 1 year of age.
If he's really smart, you know what they give him, Ron? The Pulitzer Prize.
I just caught up the Seinfeld episode. Oh, I can't wait to watch it.
Hold on a second here. A male that has been castrated is a capon?
Oh, my gosh.
That hurts, huh, Ron? The capon.
The capon.
Or the cape off in that case.
Although these terms can be confusing, the internet says, hens and roosters are still both chickens.
Right. So we're all these things are chickens. Right. Yes. Who knew? We were talking about so many entities in the chicken family, Maddie. Where's Bob Walk?
I don't know. He's going right to voicemail.
Bob? I mean, Ron, what do you make of this?
We're endeavoring to get him.
He's giving us the Belfont snorkel.
No,
here.
I just sent him a note saying, are you there? And he writes back, yep.
So this is the type of thing Bob loves. He was on with us when I was with Mulsey, and the question of the day was whether a kick returner in the NFL could avoid a grizzly bear. Bob put a lot of thought into that, Ron. Do you think he could? Grizzly bears are really, really fast.
And they got some size, too.
You know what they don't have? Lateral movement.
They can't go side to side. They're straight
ahead.
That's exactly
right, yeah. So if you were asking a grizzly bear to cover a kick, oh, he could cover the field, Ron, in seconds, but I think you could shake him off. We saw alligators in Florida, in Sanibel. My daughter and I went for a bike ride. There was a sign warning about alligators that this was an alligator habitat. She made me go into one, and we saw a 6-foot alligator in the water. Then a local comes by and tells us, I don't think you want to go near that guy. It's mating season. That's A, and B, alligators travel at 35 miles an hour.
Which is faster than you can move.
Lamar Jackson was timed at 23.
I can't believe you even got that close.
Neither can I.
You're scared of your shadow, let alone that.
Bob Walk on the line? He's telling Maddie something, Ron. The drama's building here. Maddie just put up his index finger. I think Bob Walk's going to be delayed. Would you go alligator hunting?
No. No. I'm not into creatures of any kind, really.
Who'd we have on the other day who said they would?
Shelty said he wouldn't.
Shelty, you're right.
He said he wouldn't. But he lives in, you know, has a place in Florida. So he sees him on the golf course
right.
all the time.
Bob Walk on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Bob, are you there?
Yeah. How you guys doing?
We've never been better. We've delved into subjects such as chickens and alligators. You've spent time in Florida. Have you ever encountered an alligator? Have you ever gone on an alligator hunt at night?
No, never alligator hunting. I've encountered many alligators. I actually had the one hooked up fishing one time, a small one. It ended up breaking off, though, so I didn't have to deal with that, thank goodness. But, yeah, if you're down in Florida for any length of time, every body water down there has alligators in it. So you see them and you end up just kind of staying away from the lower ones. You don't really pay that much attention to, but when they get up to, you know, 6-7 feet, you stay away from those guys. At least I do.
They didn't have those in California, did they?
No. We just have rattlesnakes, things like that.
Bob, let's move on to the ball club. And let's move on to Mitch Keller. And we've had a lot of discussion this week on this move to the bullpen. I mean, clearly this wasn't the plan. Could this turn out to be a good thing? Do you see a reliever, a closer in the making here? What's going on with him?
I think they're just trying to figure something out, try something different. When spring training started, there was a lot of talk of, you know, he's throwing hard, good consistency, and kind of a different attitude about things. And when the season started, I could see exactly what everybody was talking about. He was throwing the ball very hard, upper 90s, and you could see a total different attitude in the way he carried himself during the game. And I really thought that this could be a change. But it's kind of slowly gone back to what we've seen before, where he's just kind of up and down, good games, bad games. Sometimes it's good innings, bad innings. And when they tried him coming out of the bullpen, I think they're just, you know, they've done that with almost everybody but him so far. So they're going to try it with him and see what happens if we can come in and find some consistency that way. I guess along the same lines of what they've done with Crow. Now, Crow was used the other day as an opener, but from my understanding, that's just what he's going to be. He's a reliever. He's going to be in the bullpen. Occasionally he'll be used as an opener, maybe pitch an inning, two innings at most, depending on where he's at in the lineup. So I guess they're doing something similar right now with Keller, that they just want to try and shake something loose. I mean, the talent is there. Everybody talks about it for the last couple of years, and it's just not coming to the forefront in a consistent way. He just gives everybody a taste of it now and then.
Bob, you know, you talk about the talent, which leads me to question, you know, for lack of a better word, mental toughness with this guy. How do you think he handles a demotion to the bullpen? Can that break some guys? And, I mean, maybe from your experience, were you ever demoted to the bullpen when you were struggling? And how did you handle it?
I was demoted to the bullpen in Atlanta, first time that ever happened to me. I got sent to a bullpen and was just really buried back there. And I ended up going to winter ball as soon as the season was over because I knew they were going to release me the next season, and they did. So it wasn't a good thing for me. As far as the situation here, I think it's totally different because that's the way they've been using this pitching staff throughout the season. You've had somebody that's kind of opened the game and somebody that's come in and pitched next in like four of the five spots. And now it looks like three spots. You know, Quintana's the only guy that's really been a starter, throughout the season with no breaks or anything. I think Brubaker has moved into that spot now too. So we'll just see what happens with the other three, but they were at the beginning of the season having a lot of success with this, you know, two man starter per game deal. Lately it hasn't worked out as well as it was earlier, but I still think they're going to stick with it for quite some time. And if Keller is going to be part of that, sometimes he might be quote unquote a starter. Sometimes he might be in the bullpen. But on our team, the line between starter and bullpen guy has definitely been blurred. So I don't know if there is any, you know, feeling of being demoted because you're going down and pitching out of the bullpen. In several occasions, the guy that comes in second actually pitches the most, and if he's successful and we score some runs, he's the guy that ends up in a situation where he's going to get the win. I think you can look to Dylan Peters for that type deal.
Bob Walk on the Nemecolon Fan Hotline. Bob is brought to you by Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. Brian Reynolds, slump. I mean, now it's we're working on 2 months here. Bob, how much concern do you have? What are you seeing with Reynolds?
Well, I was at different times I've seen of late the problem has been, I think, hitting the fastball. I've seen him swinging through fastballs. Early on, I think it was chasing. He was swinging at a lot of bad pitches out of the strike zone. But I've seen both of those start to go away now. Last couple of games in Chicago, I think he had a lot better at bats and started getting out to the fastball. But you don't want to panic and start trying to just focus on hitting fastballs and start pulling the ball exclusively. That's going to just make the slump worse and make it deeper. That's kind of what I see from the Cubs' third baseman, Wisdom. He's just so focused on hitting the fastball and pulling the ball so much that really a good pitcher can pick him apart pretty much. Somebody that's got good command. So you don't want to get into that trap. And I think he's been trying to stay the type of hitter he's always been, where he's going to hit the fastball up the middle and pull bad pitches and hit the ball out of the ballpark. And I think he'll be just fine. I still have confidence in him. You're right. He's gotten off to a pretty poor start compared to what our expectations are. And the fact that, you know, the team is not full of, you know, high quality all-star type guys, except him and, you know, maybe Hayes you could throw out there too in that mold. When he goes bad, he sticks out way more than if he was playing on, say, a team like the Dodgers or the Yankees, if you know what I'm saying. He's our guy, and when he's going bad, it really shows up, or doesn't show up, however you want to phrase that.
Bob, we've been around a long time, and every time you think you see something, you see everything, you see something new. You've never saw a team win a game with a no-hitter like the Pirates did on Sunday against the Reds. First of all, your thoughts as you're watching that. Secondly, that Hunter Green looks like the real deal, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got a good arm. If he can, you know, pitch with the command that he showed that night, and he's going to be very tough for quite some time. He definitely could be the real deal. You know, my thoughts, as we got toward the end, the last couple innings, I started thinking, you know, the way we're going to win this is it's going to go to extra innings, and we're going to get a free runner on second base. We're going to hit a ground ball, move in the third, fly ball, game's going to be over. That's the way I thought it was going to be. And it kind of almost ended up that way. They just got real wild and decided to start walking a bunch of people. And you know, we had a ground ball with the bases loaded and scored a run. And, you know, that's usually what happens. When I was in A-ball with the Phillies first coming up, we had a very hard thrower, a guy who just, you know, 100-mile-an-hour guy. And he threw a no-hitter one night for us, and we lost the game 3-2. Now, that's back in the days where, you know, minor leaguers were allowed to throw maybe 150 pitches or something. He was out there for the whole time, walking guys and giving up tons of runs, and he finished the game.
Who was that? Did he play in the big leagues?
His name is Henry Mack. He ended up getting traded the next year to, I think it was the Texas Rangers, I believe. And I don't know if he ever made it to the big leagues. You know, he was a typical A-ball kid that threw the you-know-what out of the baseball. And when he was on, would dominate everybody. But he was just a hard thrower that was really wild. So I'm not sure he ever made it to the big leagues or not. I'd have to go pull out Baseball Reference and find out.
Bob, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, guys. You take care. We'll see you later on.
See you, Robert.
That's Bob Walk on the Fan Hotline, presented by Nemecolon. Around every corner, Nemecolon creates real-life magic for guests. Jack Ham coming up later this hour. Live coverage of every Pirates game on the Fan now available through the Odyssey app. Whether you're in the Pittsburgh area or not, you can listen to every pitch of every Pirates game on Odyssey. Search 93.7 The Fan on the Odyssey app or tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 The Fan. And while we're on the topic of the Odyssey app, check out Tailgate Rock, rock songs that will crank up the good times. Featuring good songs from Van Halen, The White Stripes, Kid Rock, and more. Just search for Tailgate Rock on the Odyssey app to listen. Ron, it turns out, speaking of that, that Eric Clapton and who's coming up, Elton John, are coming here on the same day. Are you kidding me? Which one would you go to?
I'm more of a Elton John guy, I guess. I saw him and Billy Joel back in
together
at Three River Stadium. That would have been 19. Oh my God! I better get this right. 12/23/94. My daughter was born in 1994, and my wife at the time was pregnant with her, and that was a summer event, like in June, at Three River Stadium. I remember that vividly. They both were there together.
So you're taking Elton John. Folsey, how about you?
I was leaning toward Elton John myself, although.
See, I'm going Clapton.
Yeah,
here.
The more I think about it.
One of the great
live experience
great guitar
of
players
Eric
of all
yes.
time.
I mean, if he pulls out the acoustic guitar, I'm all about it here.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going Clapton.
Did you see the Elton John documentary?
No.
Rockumentary?
Nope.
Ron, did you?
I did not. I don't watch TV.
Tremendous.
I don't get to see much TV.
What do you mean you don't watch TV?
I don't
do you have
see
one
much
in your
TV.
House?
I don't hardly ever watch it. I watch Seinfeld.
You watch
occasionally.
Seinfeld? You watch sports? You watch the Rockford Files?
Not very often.
Columbo? Hawaii Five-0?
I watch Two and a Half Men. That's kind of become my new favorite. That makes me laugh.
That's
every
me,
time.
You, and Folsey. Two and a Half Men. He's half man, half horse. Right? Are you, Folsey?
Two and a Half
Folsey,
Men.
Do you feel like you're in trying to step into big shoes?
You notice
like
he's calling you Folsey now.
He cast a big shadow, Horst did, didn't he? Do you feel that pressure?
Not
the
really.
The way that these guys are going to feel the shadow of Ben when they walk onto the field?
No disrespect to Horst, but I don't know if Horst is casting the same kind of shadow as Big Ben would.
Is that a shot at Horst?
I think it was definitely a shot at Horst.
Wow.
It was.
You know, I thought of Horst today, how happy he would have been to have Mike Bunchak on the show. He could have talked with him when he called.
They could have talked Denver Broncos stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's Bunchak's favorite topic right now, the Broncos.
Maybe not.
He seemed very disappointed that all that blew up.
That's what happens when there's a coaching change. He knows the business.
He can thank Vic Fangio for all of that. Anyway.
Why are you calling him Folsey?
It feels natural. I'm not putting any thought into this.
2 days ago, it felt unnatural.
Right.
This now it feels good. Natural.
Yeah. Are you okay with
this? He'll be calling you something else next week.
Folsey, are you okay with this?
I guess, but it's going to change by Monday morning. So.
Maybe. I'm really starting to like that, Folsey. It from the chicken talk that we had today about hens, roosters, and what's the castrated chicken? A Caden?
Capon.
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 He's in the whole hen of chickens with roosters and hens, and he's the little castrated chicken. It's
got to
hurt, right?
You would think so.
So you're okay with Folsey because we had a chicken discussion?
Yes, because it's about the sort of different ways we delineate chickens, right? And then we get to horses.
You've got to find that sign.
We have foals. We have ponies. What else do we have?
Broncos, I guess.
Broncos.
Stallions.
How about a castrated horse? Is that a
Colts?
Capon too? Colt?
No,
right.
That's a gelding.
A gelding.
Right.
Right. Think of that poor guy, Ron.
Huh? You got to find the sign.
Life around the stable for the gelding?
With George's dad eating dinner and saying, who does the hen have sex with? It is one of the best 30 seconds of television.
Is the gelding walking around with a permanent sense of shame, Ron? Do the other horses know that why the gelding is
they
the gelding?
They give him the cold shoulder.
They call him Geldy, like in a hockey locker room, you think? Folsey,
sure,
do they?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Is he Geldy?
He gets made fun of. There's
Does he no eventually way. Get a sense of humor about it where they can rib him a little bit?
They have they have races just for like geldings, right? It's like a certain classification of a horse race.
What?
I believe. I believe it
so
is.
So the only entrance sort geldings. Of requirement is
I think they're all geldings.
No.
Everybody gets a trophy these days, right?
Yeah. The Gelding Cup?
Unreal.
I think they call it. Well, Mike Tomlin was very complimentary of a former Raven. Now former Raven, Sam Cook, the punter. It felt like he's been around longer than you or I.
Like,
I mean, it's
Tucker
amazing.
Too. Those two guys forever, right? He and Tucker. I would think by far the best punter-kicker combination in the league.
Yeah.
Certainly Tucker's the best kicker in the league. And I think Sam Cook was really, really good for a long time.
So Tomlin tweets out a short tweet that I think it just said,
"Much
Sam
respect.
Cook, much respect.
Much respect." That's kind of cool.
I remember Sam Cook. For the first memory that came to mind was not something he did, but something he didn't do. You know what it was?
What?
It was the game.
Talk about chicken and geldings.
Maybe. What if you had a competition between just the castrated ones, Ron? The capons against the geldings. Ooh, what do you think that would be like?
That would have been interesting.
Geldings minus 3.5, Maddie? You picking the geldings in that one or the capons?
All right,
the geldings.
And who has home court here? Are we playing in the stable or the coop? Which one, Ron?
I'm just looking up gelding to make sure I had my term right. It is definitely, it says, a castrated animal, especially a male horse. How do you castrate a female horse? You can't do that, right?
Yeah, you would assume it's only the male once you have the word castrated.
All right, what did Sam Cook not do?
He didn't punt. In a game in 08 or 10, I can't remember which.
It was
the Polamalu flies over the line on 3rd and 7, maybe. Flacco fumbles. Woodley picks it up. Steelers score. Steelers win. It was Cam Cameron, the offensive coordinator. The Steelers had done nothing offensively for the whole game. That play happened not far from midfield. The Ravens might have been at their 40 or so. This guy, instead of just running and punting, decides to call a pass play. The Steelers would have had to have gone, you know, depending on what Sam Cook did, 90 yards. They needed a touchdown to win the game. And instead, he went for it. Next thing you know, Polamalu's in midair on Flacco's back. The ball's on the ground, and Woodley's running with it.
I think that was a Ben Dyke-Redmond touchdown pass.
I think it was.
Where he fought off Suggs on the play before.
You have one of the best punters, if not the best in the league, and a defense that's killed the Steelers all game. Now, I realize that had happened before in Baltimore and that Ben had come through with the touchdown to Santonio Holmes. They'd done nothing offensively either that day. So I kind of get trying to keep it away from Ben, but I always thought, put Sam Cook on the field there, Ron.
There you go. He was a good punter. Justin Tucker's the best kicker.
I think so, yes, although Boz isn't far these days.
No, he's really good too, but I would still take Tucker.
How about the AFC North kicking division with McPherson in Cincinnati as well?
Yeah, he's look what the Cincinnati kicker did last year on the way to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Thank you, Maddie. I think it's a hell of a kicking division. I do. The geldings against the capons. What a game it would be, huh? What kind of ball would they use? I guess none,
say,
huh? None,
it's,
right, Ron?
It's a ballsy choice.
All right. Ron, Jack Ham coming up next. We got to
get to a break.
Yes, we do. Jack Ham next. He made the news this week unwittingly when Doug Whaley said he would be a backup in today's NFL. Let's ask Jack. Jack Ham coming right up. First, it's our What's Cooking segment brought to you by Mr. Reuter.
Thank you, Mr. Reuter.
Call 412-REUTER-2. What's Cooking also brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Ron, Jack Ham is on the Nemecolon fan hotline.
Yeah, I got a text this morning saying, why am I being criticized in 2022? I retired in 1982. And I wrote back, well, you should be flattered. They're still talking about you 40 years later. Let's go out to the Nemecolon fan hotline and welcome in Jack Ham. Jack, I'll bet you never thought you'd be a guest with us today, did you?
No, I have to admit, Ron, it did not cross my mind, and I listened to your show a lot, and happened to catch it the last couple of days, and I got to admit, it was a lot of fun for me to hear all that stuff.
What did you think when Doug Whaley goes, well, he'd be a backup special teams player today?
Well, first of all, I got to correct one thing. It's 6'2.5", and I played around 228. All right, that was my playing weight. And I always talk to you, Ron, about the fact of it's such a different game here today. But the one thing that I did have that I think it transcends any error, I had quickness out there, and I actually studied the game quite a bit, and I had a great mentor in Andy Russell. So, I would have been more involved in the weight training. I'd be more involved in nutrition, which I'm involved in that now. And, I'd had probably another extra year in college. So, I would have adapted. I would have adapted to the game today. I could have been like a lot of teams are using right now, that weak side linebacker is half safety, half linebacker, which would probably have been a perfect position for me, because I love the passing game. So I would tell Doug that I don't think he's correct. Plus, I was the worst special teams guy in the world, so I that's why you try to start for Chuck Noll, so you're off special teams.
Jack, you got to get people to fix the height and weight then. All these sites have you at 6'1", 220, 6'1", 225. You're 6'2.5"?
Yep. I have not shrunk, and so I'm 6'2.5", you know, for back then, Joe, for playing under the 4-3 defense, you didn't want your linebackers to be any bigger than that, because you're so involved in the passing game. And I loved the passing game, so you had to be athletic on the outside and in man-to-man coverage on tight ends or man-to-man coverage on backs out of the backfield. And so in that 220, I actually played a little bit lighter on the outside on the 4-3 defense.
Jack, I mean, I think we all agree that athletes are bigger, stronger, and faster today, right? I mean, the evolution of the game is incredible. Did you see that defensive lineman that the Steelers were interested from Georgia? What was he, about like 6'8", 360, and runs like a 4.7 or something?
Yeah. I saw that, Ron, and it reminds me back when, both at Penn State and the Steelers, we got timed in 10 yards, and that guy, whoever the guy's name, I forget the guy from Georgia, but his time in 10 yards was awfully good as well. And that's more of a barometer for a defensive lineman or a linebacker. I mean, if I'm running 40 yards on a play, I'm chasing somebody. And so how quick you are in that 10-yard area, and that young man, I think, is going to have a hell of a career in the NFL. But that's a better benchmark for a defensive player, especially defensive lineman or a linebacker. Now, safeties, wide receivers and those guys, they got to have the top-end speed. But the quickness in 10 yards is so critical, and I had that on my side as well when I was playing.
Not only did you have that on your side, Chuck Noll was quoted as saying you were the quickest Steeler, including the backs and receivers, in a 10-yard stretch. Was that true?
That is true, and I equate a lot of that to, I played a lot of racquetball in college and also in the pros, and that's, in that racquetball court, it's 20 by 40, you are taking 3, 4, 5 steps all the time as quick as you possibly can, especially if you play players better than you who handle the racket. Like, I had a lot of great matches with Al Oliver when he was here in Pittsburgh, and we were both racquetball enthusiasts back then. But, that quickness, I had that in college. I got time like that in college at Penn State, and I was very, very quick there, and it carried over in Pittsburgh.
And the other thing that I tried to point out in making your case, Jack, was that not all the guys you played against were tiny. Earl Campbell's bigger than most of the running. He's bigger than Najee Harris. Dave Casper, Russ Francis are as big or bigger than George Kittle, who's the best tight end in the game today. It's not like you were playing against all these tiny people.
Oh, no, not at all. And Earl Campbell might have been the best running back, the most physical running back that I know on our team during that era, and he could have played in any era as well. But, Joe, goes back to technique. I mean, when you get from college to the pros, you have to work at your craft. This is your job now. And if you out-technique somebody for 4 quarters, you're going to make more plays out there, and you're going to be more a consistent player out there as well. And, one of the great tight ends I played against, Russ Francis, and that was a hell of a challenge. He was 245, 250 back then. and, you know, leverage all the things you're going to do, anticipate plays, read plays, understand what people are trying to do against you. All those things add up as well. So, I mean, yeah, I played against some great, great tight ends throughout my career, and Casper and Russ Francis are probably the top two.
We're talking to Hall of Famer Jack Ham here on the Cook and Joe Show. Jack, how about some of your teammates? Could Mike Webster have adapted at center? He was smaller on the smaller side compared to these guys now, to Joe Green. And how about the guy next to you, Jack Lambert?
Well, again, this game today is such a big part of it, such a passing game today. In my era, it was you ran the ball twice and threw the ball on third down. Well, now you're throwing the ball all over the lot all the time. And like I said, I would have loved playing more. I enjoyed the passing game. I intercepted a lot of balls from the linebacking position, and so I would have probably loved it today. But there's no question. Joe Green, he was 280 pounds when he came in, and he was just so quick off the ball that he was. There's no question. Mel Blount, I think, would be the guy. Another guy, probably the top guy, I think, who could probably turn, you know, from one era to the other. And again, it was Jack Lambert. He, again, a middle linebacker who plays the passing game very well, which is more than half the game today. So you have to be a good in the pass game, or you'd be a liability out there, or you'd be on the bench and they'd bring a defensive back in.
Last time I saw Mel Blount, he's like 70. Looks like he still could go out and play. I've never seen anyone like it, Jack. Have you? A physical specimen like him?
That was the most natural athlete that I had ever seen come in pro football. He was there a couple of years before I got there. And I always remember back when Chuck Knoll, you talk about a guy who's going to play the best player no matter what. Chuck Knoll was involved in that lawsuit out with the Oakland Raiders and ended up had to say some things about our secondary, one being Mel Blount, and I think Glenn Edwards as well. And they were talking about the criminal element in pro football. And Mel Blount sued Chuck Knoll for libel for that. And next training camp in La Trobe, first team defense out there at right corner is Mel Blount. And he was just a player that didn't matter what anything else he did, you know, in suing the head coach, he knew that he was the best player by far and had him out there at right corner. And, I'll never forget all that.
All right, Jack, before we let you go, I think you were before your time. You probably could make more money at Penn State now than you did in your entire pro football career. What do you think of this name, image, likeness, and these kids, you know, being recruited or getting millions of dollars?
This is all the NCAA's fault because they let politicians make decisions on their industry. And when they do that, it ends up being like the chaos we have right now. And it's a free for all. And what was under the table illegal back when is now above board and legal. And I'm not sure this is a good thing. Now, can Saquon Barkley make money off his shirt and so forth? Fine. I have no problem with all of that. But now they're getting into the point where this has gotten out of control. Somebody's got to rein it in, and I'm not sure the NCAA can do it.
I don't know who's going to rein it in, Jack, but how about these coaches bickering? They don't like the players making money. It's okay for them to make the big money. You heard about Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. I mean, it was priceless stuff.
Oh, it made your probably 2 days of your show with the stuff like that, with those two guys going at each other. But, somehow I think, Texas A&M has five-star defensive linemen in that recruiting class. And that has got to be a recruiting record for five-star defensive linemen coming in this year to Texas A&M.
Jack, we appreciate the time. We appreciate you got a great sense of humor, man. Starkey was all over this saying you'd still be a great player today. And, you know, I think we all agree. You'd have done what you had to do. You'd have put on some weight, right? And you'd have ate better.
You would adapt. So, anyways, Joe, thank you for all the support. And also the article, I pulled it up this morning.
Sorry I got the height wrong. I had no idea. But thank you, Jack.
All right.
Okay. Hey, Jack, stay well. We'll talk again real soon, okay?
All right.
Thank you.
Bye. This is great, Ron. Now I've written stories on Lambert and Ham and gotten their measurables wrong in both.
And boy, he pointed that out too, didn't he?
Six. It says on Pro Football Reference 6'1", 225. I mean, now it's even more of a 6'2.5", 228. He would have to, guys are playing at less than that.
He's
with that kind of quickness, and he verified it. Noel said he was faster than the receivers.
10 yards is what.
In 10 yards.
You know, he said, if I'm running 40 yards, I'm running somebody down the field. I shouldn't be doing that. How about that? Was fun, wasn't it?
That was great. What a great week. What a great ending to the week. Folsey's healthy and well.
Joe, I got to say,
yes.
Again, I've said this. Everybody says Joe Green, the best Steeler of all time. I'll live with that. He and Mel Blount, Jack Ham and Mel Blount, were right there for me. Right, and you heard what he said about Mel.
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
I mean, Mel Blount could walk from that field onto this field and play at 6'3", 205, and legend has it he ran a 4.440. So that stuff can be way, way overblown.
When Ham said he's the best athlete I've ever seen come into Pittsburgh, that's pretty good mouthful from him.
By and large, players bigger, stronger, faster, but it just simply doesn't apply to a lot of people. And Joe Green is obviously one of them. He's 5 pounds lighter in his playing days than Aaron Donald.
Right.
And he was among the quickest defensive tackles in the history of the game. You could pluck him out of 72, out of a game, Maddie. Put him onto the field next year for Steelers-Ravens, and he's destroying people. Why wouldn't he? He's 5 pounds lighter than Aaron Donald. Actually, he's the same, if Ham is right.
Notice he called you Maddie this time, as opposed to Folsey. He's all over the place.
I told you he would be.
Folsey, you're a hell of a man.
What was that? Folsey?
Buster Folsey? Thank you, Folsey.
Hey, thank you, man. It was a great week, even if you're only here for 3.5 of the days.
Thanks, yeah. Ron.
Try to make it in for all 5 next week.
Joe, that was fun. That was a great week. I hope you have a great weekend.
I thought you were coming over tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to try. I might have to fold T-shirts.
6:30 or 7. Hot dogs, hamburgers, the whole Devil Dog softball team.
Well, I get to meet Bailey.
Bailey will be
there. I met Bailey before when I picked you up. Before.
Bailey will be there. Everybody will be. You and my wife can commiserate on life with me.
Oh, that's a must. She goes, you have my sympathy. I said, you have my sympathy as well.
I understand. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet for a great deal in a newer pre-owned vehicle and great service. You'll find it at Sun Chevrolet. Still some rain perhaps in some areas. High of 89 today and up to 91 tomorrow. Maddie, we'll see you on Monday, buddy, okay?
Sounds good, Joe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.